So our gospel reading today comes from the gospel of Luke chapter 24, beginning in the 36th verse. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet. It's I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day, rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm setting the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And so as we consider this good news that God has for us, he becomes for us the bridge to life. A life that we sometimes wonder, does life have meaning? Well, this last Monday, we were across the continent in awe, looking at the eclipse. Some of us gathered to see its beauty. Some of us were just awe-inspired. Others were looking for meaning. What does this mean for life? What does make life meaningful? Maybe you wonder that. Maybe you sometimes wonder that late at night. How do we live a life like that when oftentimes we're just trying to make it to the weekend or make it through whatever we're walking through in our life right now, or whatever difficulty or challenge or anything that the day might bring sometimes feels like that's enough? But when we think about it and start reflecting on it, we want our lives to really matter. If you want your life to matter to the people closest to you and to the world around you, then think about this, that as we heard in Genesis, God says to you and to me that there is a beginning, and he started it, and he made you for a purpose. That life matters because the God who is full of meaning says to you, "You're meaningful because I made you." And now after the resurrection, there's a new beginning. And you're witnesses to this. You have a purpose that will change the world when you share this good news. When we think about people who have been really good at telling others about Jesus, an evangelist, and leading others to Christ, as our mission statement says. In the last century and in the beginning of this one, many of us will go and think of Billy Graham. And we'll think maybe to ourselves, "Well, I could never be like him," right? But I came across this article about the folks almost a line of succession, and those Christians who had faithfully passed down the gospel that finally reached Billy Graham. Right next to the picture of Billy Graham there in the bottom left is Ham Mordecai, who in North Carolina, when Graham was a young boy, known as Billy Frank back then, to his family, shared the gospel with him. But before that, someone had shared the gospel with Ham, and a famous preacher, Billy Sunday, had shared the gospel with him, and another preacher had shared the gospel with him, and then another guy named Mr. Kimball, who's in the top left, taught a Sunday school class that shared the gospel with a young man who would later be an important preacher, who would be in that line that would bring the gospel to Billy Graham. And so you think, I could never be a person that could share the gospel and change millions of lives. Even atheists will think, oh, well, the Samaritan Purse, at least they're making such a great humanitarian effort. They're changing the world today. Part of the ministry that grew from Billy Graham's ministry. Part of a ministry that we're a part of when we do Operation Christmas Child in December, or when we support projects through our mission and service team with Samaritan's Purse. Part of sharing the gospel and changing lives for eternity. You think, oh, I'll never be like Billy Graham, but maybe you'll be like Mr. Kimball, who taught a Sunday school class. And unbeknownst to him, it would change millions of lives. Because he shared the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so show up to a Sunday school class and the world might be changed forever. Or maybe you know this Christian, Rosa Parks. She stood up for what she knew to be true and right in the same year that this congregation was formed. And when she did that, she would tell us later that it was because of her conviction of faith in Christ Jesus, that God was with her, and that in her deep walk of faith in Christ, she was enabled to live out the truth that God created her and all people to be equal. And you know, you might think to yourself, well, I could never do what Rosa Parks did. I don't know that I could stand up like she did, and or in her case, sit down, right? But you know, she tells us that her grandparents were the ones that told her about Jesus. Her grandparents were the ones that led her to a deep, abiding faith in Christ. Any grandparents in the room? Any parents in the room? You sharing the gospel with your children, with your grandchildren, might just change the very fabric of the world that we live in because you share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. This is transforming. How about one more? William Wilberforce. He served in the Parliament of the United Kingdom. He was a young parliamentarian and was well known to be part of the party scene. And he enjoyed that social life to its fullest. One day when he was on a train ride, a friend of his shared the significance and importance of the gospel. It's not just a philosophy, but that God really did this and will transform your life. And as the Holy Spirit worked because of that conversation on a train ride, it transformed Wilberforce's life. And he came to follow Jesus, oh, so much more deeply. And in his daily vocation as a member of Parliament, he was led by the conviction of the Holy Spirit to take a stand against slavery. And because of his work in the Parliament, because of his conviction of faith, slavery was abolished in the United Kingdom, which became a witness for Abraham Lincoln and many others to follow. You think, well, I can't do something big like Wilberforce. I can't make such a great stand like Rosa Parks did. I'm not going to be able to preach to millions like Billy Graham did. And then you remember that, well, it was a Sunday school class. It was a grandparent. It was a friend telling the good news of the gospel on a train ride. These were life-changing, world-shaking events. They didn't know it at the time, but God was in them to share and change the hearts by the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You want to change the world? Then tell somebody about Jesus. And see what God will do. Now that's our why. That's the why for the meaning and depth of life and purpose that we have in this world. For you to share with your best friend, with your kids, in your home, in your vocations. This is the kind of all-in life that God is calling us to walk on a Jesus-shaped path. That you, the Gospel of Luke tells us today, you are witnesses. He doesn't say to the disciples, even though they are waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, you will be witnesses. He doesn't say to us that once you have the right education and have gone to the right classes and have received the right training, that you will be witnesses. He says to us, the church today, to you, people of God, created in the image of God, you are witnesses. And whether it's a Sunday school class or sharing as a grandparent or sharing with a friend, the Lord will use that good news to change the world. Now is the time for you and for this congregation, with the momentum that we feel and see happening by the work of the Holy Spirit, to be a place, a culture of evangelism, to share the good news with everyone around us. And it'll change the world. That's the why. What about the what? What is it that we're confessing and believing? Well, I love it in verse 41 in our gospel reading today. We kind of hear what the disciples are going through right there after Jesus' resurrection. It's verse 41, and it says, While they still disbelieved for joy. I don't know if you saw that in today's text. They disbelieved for joy and were marveling. Well, that turn of phrase caught my attention, and we dug into it a little further and listened to some scholars and read the Greek and realized that just about everyone who reads that text and comes to it in Greek says that, you know, in English it might be a better turn of phrase. Is what they were really trying to say is, it seems too good to be true. This seems too good to be true. But there he was right in front of them. And yet they disbelieved for joy because it seemed too good to be true. But they couldn't deny it because he was right there before them. It was not just a philosophical reality. The resurrection is a physical reality that's changed the world. It's a new beginning. It's a physical reality that still changes the world today. The evidence for the resurrection and the truth of it, as I've shared over the last couple weeks, has and continues to change us and change the world. We even get evidence for it in God's creation, as you heard in Genesis 1. We see God's handiwork in the world around us, that there is a beginning, for example, for a generation, scientists believed that the universe was universal and eternal, and therefore there was no beginning. And then as we begin to realize, especially on that mountaintop of Mount Wilson Observatory in Einstein, to look through famously that telescope and noticed that his cosmological constant into the math of physics was an error, and that in fact, as he looked through that telescope, he realized the universe was expanding, and therefore it necessitated a beginning, just as the Bible has always said. And as science now confirms that, we even see in the fine-tuning for life that we have here on this earth that God is who is the bridge to life, has given us life. I liked, to my surprise, in an episode of Young Sheldon, I saw on a YouTube clip, this is from an episode from a few years ago now, where he was making the case that there is an intelligent creator by the fine-tuning of life. And he was right. I'd made this same case with students that a little bit more gravity and we wouldn't have life like we have it now on Earth. A little less gravity and life on this planet would not be what it is today. God has created it fine-tuned for life. And though it seems too good to be true, as the early disciples thought, he shows up in this physical reality to show us and to show you that this is real, that Christ's resurrection is true. In fact, I liked, and maybe you might remember this quote from a scholar that I shared an Easter or two ago, where we see Jesus eating broiled fish to show that he's no ghost. And so one scholar said, what we should be saying on Easter is, he is eaten. He is eaten indeed. Alleluia. Right? That he is actually the physical resurrected God of the universe. It wasn't just an idea. He physically resurrected. And one day we will rise with him. He shows us that he's real. That's the what. So now we know the why, the what, but how about the how? How do we share this good news with the world around us? Well, that's what we're going to cover the next several weeks. We're going to look at questions and then answers from Scripture that I'm going to invite you, and you can see these Scriptures listed in your newsletter, and they'll be printed on cards next week, to memorize. Memorize in your home. Teach them to your children. And learn to share the good news of the gospel, because as we've heard, whether it's a Sunday school class or in the family like a grandparent or on a train ride or hanging out with a friend, it will change lives eternally and it will change the world if we share this good news of the gospel. You know, sometimes it'll be hard. Peter Nafsker pointed out that even apparently there weren't skeptics for the first time in our modern age. We read this text in the Gospel of Mark last week and now in the Gospel of Luke. Even the disciples had fear and questions and wondering, from disbelief to joy. They were marveling. Remember that verse 41? That word marveling, thaumasantan in Greek, marvel, to wonder, be amazed or surprised. Move them from disbelief to marveling at what God had done. And while we might still have questions that trouble us, that it wasn't just the modern world, but even the first century believers wondered about a body literally rising from the dead, we can see the evidence then and now. And though the world might sometimes challenge us when we share this gospel, I like how Pastor Timothy Keller once said, the Roman Empire said to Christians, you're too exclusive. You threaten the social fabric of society because you don't honor all the deities. Now the modern world says to Christians, you're too exclusive. You threaten the social order because you won't honor all the identities. Whether it was in the past or today, the church has been challenged when we share the bridge of life because we worship many false gods of our own making. And today, God is calling us to worship the one true God, the only God who rose from the dead, the only God who created heavens and earth, the only God who gives us a new beginning. And when we share this, it will change your life because you are forgiven. And what you've gone through can be forgiven by the grace of God. It'll change your life because you'll have life eternal. And you will, when you are a witness to this truth, to the fact that the cross is the bridge to life, that what Christ has done brings us back into relationship with God as he always intended. It will change hearts for eternity. And it will change the world. And we get to be a part of it. And so let us receive this challenge and learn the how and share it with the world. Amen.